ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth livecast. My name is Jim Case. Welcome to the show. I am excited today because we're going to have a conversation with Moshe. We haven't had a chance to sit with Moshe and chat with him for quite a few weeks, and I'm excited that he's here. We're going to have a great conversation about the insidiousness of how. There's a lot of stuff out there about how things evolve and how things work. But more importantly, what role does how have in the process of creation? So we're going to dive into that in a major way today. And I'm really excited to have the conversation. We're going to talk about hopefully some ways that you can identify for yourself how you are howing yourself. Sorry, sometimes the stuff just amuses me. But anyway, we're going to dive in here in just a couple minutes. So bear with me. We'll be right back. All right, get the story started. We're going to talk about Fear is a Choice, my book. It is out in the world. It is awesome. And I truly believe that this book can change your life. And the reason I say that is because when you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything. Fearisachoicebook.com. I'm so excited to have a website for the book. You can go there. You can order from your favorite place that you like to order from. You can see some video about the book and learn more about it. So www.fearisachoicebook.com. Check out my book. I think you'll find that it will have a huge impact on your experience. I do. We'll take a quick break. I'll be right back. My goodness. All right. And one more quick note, the Year of Conscious Creation, as you all know, it's been out there in the world. I am promoting my year. My world is good. This is a movement that I started in the desire to help us really focus into our ability to create the reality that we want. Remember, we're 8 billion unique worlds inhabiting this planet. And everything we see in the outside world is the reflection of our perception. Right. So I thought, why not change the perception? Why not find a way to find a neutral, positive energy that we can all focus on that helps us all come into unification in that idea? And then we create a tipping point for my world is good. And that tipping point just simply adds a huge chunk of positive flow into this mass consciousness that we can begin to see the goodness in the world because we are focused in it. And as we focus in it, then we have the ability to create positive change, and on that goes. So remember, you are responsible for what you create and what you see. So your perception is everything. And whatever you perceive is the accumulation of all the amazing things that you've experienced in your life, good, bad, and indifferent. So my world is good, this neutral, positive statement that doesn't care about your sex, doesn't care about your religion, doesn't care about your money, doesn't care about your politics, doesn't care about your color, race, creed, doesn't care about any of it. It cares about your humanness and your connection to the divine and to God, that you are all that. My world is good. And that's all it takes. Focus, intention, and attention. My world is good. My world is good. My world is good. Say it. Feel it. And say it often, all throughout the day. If you find yourself in a loop, my world is good. Just focus in that energy and let yourself spin up to a higher place so that you can find different solutions and begin to see the goodness that you bring and that you perceive. So My World is Good. I encourage you, go there, be there, enjoy it. And we're now going to carry on with the show. So here we go. I'm going to bring Moshe in here as soon as I push another button. Be right back. I'm getting so much better at my buttons. Sometimes I don't because I don't have my glasses and I'm trying to find them. But hi, Moshe. How are you, Jim? Great to see you.
You too.
Oh, it's been a minute, hasn't it? For those of you who have not met this amazing man, this is Moshe Engelberg. He is the author of this amazing book, The Amari Wave, which is about putting love back to work. And he's a business consultant, has his own business consulting firm, and is really building this whole Amari Wave concept and bringing it out into the world. So I'm excited that you're here, as always, and excited for the work that you're doing as well, because it's awesome. So today, we're going to have an interesting conversation. So as it happens with Moshe and I, and particularly of late, because we both have been doing our thing and been busy in our stuff, and you know, and I don't know how to count. So our days that we were together were messed up, but now he's here. And so we were chatting, just getting caught up on things. And as seems to happen more often than not, we're just having conversation, sharing how life is going. And the next thing we go, one or the other of us goes, we just found the show.
Great.
And that's what this was. This was that evolution. And we stopped, both of us stopped in the middle of the conversation and went, I think this is what our show is about. Because yeah. There's something that happens. There's just this synergy that all of a sudden we land in the same zone and we're both, it's awesome. And really the foundation of it was both of us recognizing that we were in this space of this desire for growth and expansion and not really seeing a road yet, not seeing a path to that. And that brought up this idea of the hows. And we got into talking about that. So that's really where we're going to go today. Moshe, do you want to do a little intro before we go into meditation about your thoughts about this topic?
Yeah, I think we as human beings, we often default to how. It engages our mind, gets us to be analytical, feel safe. And this is an opportunity to step away from that and trust that the how will come in at the right time.
Excellent. Oh, I had Joshua came in. I want to say hi to Josh. Good morning, Joshua. Welcome. Joshua says, word, yes, and amen. And we appreciate you. Thanks, Joshua. Joshua is one of the producers on the network, but he also has some amazing shows that you want to check out on e360tv.com. I'm just like this rolling band of promotion today. I don't know what the heck is going on with me. And it's just rolling off the tongue. Like, just go with it.
I was thinking how smooth that comes out.
Damn. It's a little frightening considering the conversations we've had over the last 6 or 7 years about this conversation. Yeah, and sitting here doing it, I still catch myself and go, who is that? who is that? All right, guys. So here we go. We're going to go into the next piece of this puzzle here. And that is, let's take a moment to focus. Moshe will be back with you in just a sec to dive in full heartedly. But like we do every show, this is about taking the time to really bring all of our energies together. It's a twofold thing. It's bringing our energies together, but it's also helping to expand the energy, the idea of where two or more are gathered. So, and in addition to that, because I want to practice what I preach, I want to provide an opportunity here for everybody to kind of engage in this process. So, and to engage in the things that we talk about, the use of breath, the use of focus, and having that moment of time to focus. So I want you to take a deep breath. We're going to focus our breath in through the nose and out through the mouth. I'm going to slow down my talk now because I feel like I'm talking 900 miles an hour. So take that deep breath and I'll take one with you in through the nose. Oh, and out through the mouth, getting fully present in this moment. Just attending to my voice. You don't have to put a lot of focus on it. Just attend to my voice and the words that are coming through as you continue to inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. And as you do, let your eyes close. Of course, if you're driving, don't close your eyes, but wherever you are, Just let yourself settle into this space of you for just a few minutes. Feeling that breath as you inhale through the nose and exhale from the mouth. And allow yourself to become aware of what I call your field. Just become aware of your energy, all of this space around you, all this space where you feel things and experience things. Just be aware of this space and be aware of what's happening in that space. And what I mean by that is be aware of the things that you're attending to. I don't want you to engage them. I just want you to notice them because I want you to see how they occupy space in your field. And all those things that occupy space over time, depending on how you deal with them, can become denser and denser. And so they become these sort of clumps that sit in your energy. And that's what beliefs do. That's what trauma does. It hangs out in your field because it becomes dense and isn't moving. So in becoming aware of that, I want you to make a conscious choice, because what I want to do is bring your awareness completely aligned and centered into self. So I want you to bring all of your awareness now, and I want you to call that field into your body. I want you to bring it into you, right? I want you to experience the inside of this amazing, amazing vessel that we have here. Bring it right into the center of your heart. Bring it right into your chest. And continue breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth as you focus into yourself. And just let all of those things disconnect from your field. Bring the field into your body. If those things are important, they'll be there when you're done. Otherwise, they can go. They can dissipate. They're not required for you to move through your life. So focusing into that space inside the heart, and I want you, as you're breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth, just allow that consciousness to explore the inside. Let it go. Go in behind your eyes and your sinuses and swirl around in your brain and in the brain fluid. Experience that place where the brain stem comes down and connects and through to the spinal cord and all of the nerve endings and all of the nerves that are expanding from the spine. Feel the fluid between the spine as you just gently move your spine, wake it up a little bit. Feel that spine unleash and relax and open up, because that's where the flow of energy happens, up and down the spine. But as you allow yourself to pay attention, notice the impact that has on all of the internal organs. As you breathe and rest, as you breathe and relax, feel that happening in your body, through your entire body, from the inside. Let it travel through your legs and your arms and all of those places, and just be in the experience of you internally, feeling all the magnificence of you. And then allow that energy, bring it back up, feel it into the heart, right into the center of your heart space, focused, powerful energy that you feel in this space. And now we're going to focus the breath, and we're going to do a little breathing. We're going to inhale to a count of four. You're going to expand 360 degrees as you breathe in to a count of four. At the top, you're going to rest for just a couple seconds. And then you're going to release all that energy and air out of the mouth. I want you to purge deep out of the lungs to a count of six, taking it all out. And then we're going to sit and rest in the void, in the empty, for just a moment before you re-engage and begin to breathe again. So here we go, focusing into that heart space, breathing in through the nose as you inhale to a count of four, two, three, four, feeling full. As you rest in that fullness, you relax. And now choosing to surrender and purge as you push all that air and energy out, breathing it out completely. Two, three, four, five, six, feeling completely empty. Be in that moment of emptiness. And now re-engage and inhale. Two, three, four, feeling full, feeling the energy rise as you rest in that space, relaxing the neck and the shoulders. And now you release from the mouth. Two, three, four, five, six, feeling empty, feeling the void, just being in that space. And engage again, inhaling. Two, three, four, feeling that rich, full feeling, relaxed into it, allowing it, and then surrendering it, purging and releasing. Two, three, four, five, six, And again, resting in the void, feeling that void so completely and powerfully, knowing that your cup is ready to be full again as you inhale. And now continue the process on your own as you breathe into that count of four, feeling that fullness, the breath is expanding 360 degrees in your body. You feel the breath from the top to the bottom as you reach the top. And you rest in that beautiful feeling of fullness, that beautiful feeling of abundance and prosperity, of energy, of life, as you release and purge, surrendering all of that for newness, surrendering it all the way down, completely purging so that you create space for brand new, but taking a moment to be in the void, to be in the emptiness and appreciating the power of that space. And as you continue to breathe in this pattern, just allow yourself to go deeper into self. As you inhale and feel that fullness, continue that dialogue for yourself. Take the breath, now purge and release. And take in these words as you are cycling through that breath. Starting with, my world is good. My world is good. My world is good. And now feel this. I am the evolution of God realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized. And from that, I create, expand, and engage. Feel that. I am. Feel the power of that breath that takes over. The acknowledgement of all that you are. And as you begin to, as you finish this last cycle of breath, and you can continue to breathe this way for the whole show, but for purposes of the show, we must carry on. So allowing yourself to continue in that breath process, but now let your energy expand back out again. Consciously let the energy go back out. Feel how big it's gotten. Feel how huge it's going to expand out to you as you bring yourself present into this space, into this moment. With Moshe and I, as we dive deep into this amazing topic of the hows. And there he is. Hi again.
Hi.
Oh, I just love that. I love that. I love that. All right.
Nice journey.
It was. It was good. So the insidious, I love that word, insidiousness. And you were the one who used that word yesterday. And it was like, there it is. That's the thing right there. That's the juice. And so that choice of word is really important, because we have been entrained, for all of us, all of the human experience, I think, have been entrained into this idea of doing the hows, of figuring it out, of making it happen, of this sort of push-drive thing that, you know, I've talked about for years and you and I have talked about before. But it never really came home for me until really recently, I think, where I've tried to be always attentive to, Mike Dooley talks about the hows, the cursed hows, he calls them. Mike Dooley's an amazing teacher who also focuses very specifically into the hows, about how the hows don't serve anything. I know Law of Attraction talks about them as well. Get out of the house. Let yourself be the creator, not the how-er. Yeah. So, and I made those words up, not them. That's not one of their phrases. So they don't need to be attributed to that. So the whole idea here is ultimately the concept of being connect or of driving the hows of how things happen in our world is really kind of backwards to how creation actually happens. And it's, I think, part of this dynamic that we were trying to resolve between ego and soul, and where am I residing? And I find that when we're in ego, how is where we live. When we're in that space of limited thinking, how is where we live, because we have to know how we're going to get to where we're going. We have to know how we're going to do it, because we have to control the process. But when we flip that paradigm and shift it over to that soul or spirit based focused, it's a whole different animal, because then we can focus in desire and becoming the thing we desire by simply moving into it emotionally and mentally without having to force the steps to it unfolding, but allowing those steps to present themselves through the inspiration of the energy that you are creating. And Moshe, I'm going to stop here because I realize I'm already in the weeds. So I need your balance.
Yeah. Well, it's a really important topic. And you're right, insidiousness is a good word for it because it speaks to how it becomes part of us, and often we don't even know it. And in our culture, it's honored and encouraged. As I said at the top of the show, I think it's because it feels safer. It's like, as human beings, most of us are more comfortable with thinking and talking about thinking than we are feeling and talking about emotions. And this plays into it. A couple comments. One is, if someone looked at it from the outside and just observed visually, it might not look that different. So for example, if one of your viewers or listeners wonders, how does Jim do this show? And they'd see you doing stuff with your computer and the lights and the mic and pushing buttons. There is a how to it that you had to learn.
Yes.
So the how is essential. It's kind of like I talk about in business. Making money is essential. It's just not the center nor the reason why anyone is in business. So similarly, the how is a mechanism to realize a desire, as you put it. And I love that you're rooting it in desire. So it starts there, and it reminds me of something I learned several years ago when creating my vision for Amare. Amare is Latin for love. And then, mm-hmm. and my work, as you mentioned, is all about bringing love into the workplace, that uplifting energy of love. And so I had this vision about all these companies worldwide that are doing this and what it looks like, and customers saying, I want to give my business to Amare companies. And I could see it and I could feel it. And then I started thinking, how am I going to do that? And realizing the lesson I learned a long time ago is, once having a vision or a desire, the next question is not how, the question is who. And to me, that shift into who means I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to put energy into the how. And I think that's what you're talking about, is once we dive into the mechanics, we often lose that guidance and the alignment.
Yeah, and so, beautiful.
And so to me, who is a good next expertise to realize that I don't need to know the how.
So why who? That confused me. I wasn't following the who. So tell me about why who instead of how.
Yeah. Well, there's two parts. One is not going to how, because how relies on me figuring it out and takes me out of the inspiration into mm-hmm. the mechanics prematurely. And so that's one part. The second part is switching to who, because who lets me stay. It realizes things need to happen for this vision to be realized. So living in my head as what I see and as what could be is not sufficient. At some point, action needs to happen for it to be manifest. So bringing in the who says there's other people whose gift, whose genius, whose superpower is manifesting this vision I have. So switching to who enables me to stay in my rightful space and moves into action in a rightful way.
I like that. I like that a lot. I was thinking in terms of, you referenced putting together the show, and I find it amazing. So many things happening in the same time in my brain. So there's the microcosm and the macrocosm. So the small picture is the routine of getting ready for the show. As I've talked about before, I don't script the show. I create guardrails for the show. I create a structure for the show. And then I allow the show to unfold. The show is a creation that has a life of its own, that's driven from my energy, but also the energy of any individual that's hosting, and the people who are observing and watching, because there's something they're desiring of the experience. So that's part of bringing that whole thing together in focus, is recognizing that I don't have to know all of the mechanics of how it happens. I need to know where I am in relation to the thing I desire, which is in this case, sharing a message about the hows. And then I spend the half an hour to 45 minutes before I sit in front of this computer in quiet. I spend it in meditation, in breathing, in getting my space prepared for the information that I want to convey. I don't have a script. I don't have notes sitting next to me. I have the concept that I've already structured, and I trust, because I've done this enough now in so many different ways, I trust that I will show up. As silly as that sounds, I trust that I will show up, because that's all that matters. This is my creation. And that's true. The other thing I was thinking as you were talking, Moshe, that was so extraordinary, is really we are all visionaries. It's interesting. And I thought, wait, hold that thought a second, Jim. Or do you really want to say that? And I thought, yeah, I really do want to say that, because what occurs to me is that it is the lack of belief in our vision that doesn't allow us to find that space of connection. That's why we go to Hal, because somewhere we've been told we're not the visionary. We're just the worker. We're just the this. We're just the that. No, we're not just the that. You've been pigeonholed into that experience, complementary experience, by society and the entrainment, but by yourself because you believed it. So the hows become the only way. It's not even out, because you can't get out of the how, you can't get out of that experience by howing it, but it is the way that we utilize that space, that limitation, that huge limited space, to try to force our way through unworthiness to a place of thinking we deserve what we want, all couched in the belief of unworthiness. Do you follow that?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I do. And I think, to me, the piece that stands out is the conundrum piece. Mm. So I'm thinking, and this is important for your listeners and viewers, given the culture we live in and the context we operate in. And it's the idea that, imagine you're at work and there's people around. Remember those days when there were people around? and they see you preparing for your show, and you're sitting there meditating, and someone says, "What are you doing?" You said, "I'm preparing for my show." And you're sitting there for half an hour. They might think, "What the hell is going on? What's he doing?" And it might strike them as odd or inappropriate. But if they saw you hard at work and seeing a bunch of stuff on the screen, and what, 3 minutes in, I'm going to do this, at 18 minutes, I'm going to say this, and so on, with a detailed script. Okay, he's preparing for a show. So that's mm-hmm. much more the how and the controlling, but you have the practiced trust to know it will come in. I don't have to produce all those details. And in our world, the conundrum is that's not the way we've grown up or what we've been taught about how to be. So you are teaching the world in the spirit of the world is good. You're teaching another way of being that says, I'll do my work. I'll have my vision. I'll do my work. I'll know it's right because of the inspiration I feel. And then I can let go and spend the next amount of time tuning in and letting it, the how, come through me. And that, to me, that's a huge shift in paradigm and requires a good deal of trust and willingness to buck the system that says, no, you have to control everything and script it out. So I wonder if you could speak to ways for people who are more at that place that our culture says is right, of you have to control everything, you have to script it out, you have to do all that, of how to get started moving from that to what we're talking about, which is more rooted in trust and love.
Yeah. So it's, I want to say from the get-go is that it's not hard, but it is challenging initially, because when you, and this is true of any belief system that we confront, and they all range on a scale, because some belief systems we don't have a huge attachment to, and some belief systems we have a huge attachment to. So when you are beginning the process of connecting to that inspiration, the first place you have to start is here with the self. You have to start in a place of connection with something. And in this case, the something, I think, needs to be self first, because that's the foundation of everything that you will do. So getting to those moments of quietness, the things as you were talking that I was thinking about is the trust element. I don't ever walk into situations anymore. And I think you and I talked about this a little bit with a show I was on recently. I had a little stuff going on about a show I was going on, because the person who was doing the show, I have great respect for, and I think she's very clear and powerful in what she does and how she does it. And it felt like it was a step up for me, in the sense that I was going to a different level of experience, but I didn't change the way I prepared for it. She sent me questions and things that she would talk about during the show, and it freaked me out, because she wasn't just going to ask fluff questions. She was going all in. She was going into my book in a way that nobody had gone in before. And for the first little bit of dealing with those questions, I literally freaked out, going, oh my gosh, she's really going there. And then I sort of went, okay, I'm feeling this. So I'm just going to set this down for a minute. I'm going to step away because this has got me a little worked up, and am I ready? And can I do this? And again, went into my own space, got myself centered, got myself clear in me, and went, Jim, you wrote the book. It's all there. There's nothing to be concerned about. There's no question she can ask that you can't answer. Because if you don't know the answer, you also know it's okay to say, I don't know. I don't have an answer for that question. But it's just like what happens here on the show. With me put, you know, the evolution of this show is a perfect example of that. I didn't want to do a podcast, let alone a live show. And I knew nothing about any of it. And by virtue of my willingness to say, okay, this is what has shown up, and my energy is going, Jim, here, over here, dude, right here, do this. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But the bigger part of me is saying this, follow. And my commitment to myself is trust that flow. Trust it, regardless of what anybody else says or does. Trust it. I do it regularly with things like, I don't know if you're familiar with kinesiology, but kinesiology is just testing your own energy system about things. And you can start simply, but you connect your forefinger and thumb of one hand, and you have a straight finger in the other hand, and you stick your finger in that hole, and then you focus for a moment and you say, is this thing I'm about to do in my highest interest, or whatever question you like, but is this serve me in the moment? And you pull against this pinching that you're doing. And if you can pull through the pinch, the answer is no. If the pinch holds you, then the answer is yes. It's the energy, it's your energy confirming the thing that you're asking. Over years and over time, and it didn't take years to get there, but over time, I just started to trust my own energy. So that if my mind was rambling along about the hows and, oh, we got to do this, and then you got to write this, and then you got to fix that, and then you got to do that. And I'm like, I'm really confused by all this right now, and it doesn't feel good. It feels like I'm trying to do something rather than just being in it, being in this thing that I'm doing. I'm forcing my way in. And so if it gets too muddy, then I use the kinesiology for just a second. And I go, okay, take a deep breath. Let's get centered. Is this activity the activity I want to put my energy into right now? And whatever the answer is, I trust it. If the answer is no, I immediately change direction. I don't question it. I don't ask more. Sometimes I may ask more questions if it's something big, but typically I simply go, okay, my energy and that thing are not in harmony right now. I'm not going there, simply for that reason. I don't know why I'm not in harmony there. It may be that that's the wrong direction. It may not be the right thing. It may be that I'm pushing or forcing, but in any case, all of those answers tell me not to engage at this moment. And so I don't. And well, go ahead.
Yeah, and I think an important addition is we're talking about how, and to let go of how. But in your example, it's also being willing, having enough trust that you let go of the why. So if someone says, you said you were going to do this thing, why aren't you doing it? You don't have to explain other than say, it didn't feel right. The answer I got was no.
Or it's not, you know, it's not where my focus is right now, or yes, it's over here. It's in the parking lot waiting for me, because me and it aren't there yet.
Right.
you know, and people go, yeah, but deadlines. Yeah, but understand, but for very few exceptions, even in the work environment, we are all aware of what's coming. If you're working a job, chances are good you've worked that job for a little while. You know what's coming in some form or fashion. So you can always be prepared to step in. But the cool thing is that once you have your space right, it doesn't matter. Because whatever comes at you, well, sure, sometimes they rattle you. But again, if you just take that moment to get centered, because it doesn't, you have the right and the ability in any moment to say, I need just a moment. Give me just a second to think about this. Give me just a moment to process that. Give yourself permission. Give yourself a pause so that you don't immediately fall into how. Oh, they're here. Okay, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do this? And everything in your system shuts down. Everything in your system clamps down because the desire for understanding how is the feeling of I'm not enoughness already. Oh my God, how am I going to do this? I don't think I'm enough to do this. I may not have enough information. I'm blah, 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 whatever all the noise is about that. But when you go to that moment of quiet and you take those breaths and you just get centered, you see the thing in front of you and you say, okay, now how can I respond to this? This is the energy I'm getting. This is the energy I'm feeling. And it is a fine tuning. It's not always going to be perfect, but nine and a half times out of 10, you're going to find that you made a good decision, that you made the right choice, because the space that you put into that experience changes the experience. It's now no longer you at effect, it's you at cause.
And here's the cool thing about going through life that way, is when you do that, it lets you observe. So mm-hmm. I have the experience of when I'm in a good space and trusting myself and all that stuff, like we're talking about, when I'm in that space and I don't know what's going to happen next and I don't know the how, but I get to observe it. It's like watching myself in this life, in this play, and say, cool, I wonder what's going to happen next.
Yeah. It's that whole feel. Go ahead. Sorry.
And it is such an awesome feeling, as long as I have enough trust in myself that it will unfold and it will be fine. And I've fortunately learned that in most situations, not all, but in most. And it lightens the load tremendously. Mm-hmm. And it's a great feeling.
It really is. And you and I have smiled and laughed about the state of the state for me over, I was thinking about this again over the course of just the last year and the last year and a half, where, or even from 5 years ago to now. It's extraordinary, the differences, but particularly with how the show and the book and my program and everything has come together, not because I was pounding it out, but because I was allowing it to unfold in ways that, and this is important too about staying out of the hows. You know, they talk about the journey. The journey is, it's all in the journey. That's why this is so important. The journey is not about how anything. The journey is about the experiences and being inspired by those experiences that lead you to the next piece, that lead you to the next person, that lead you to the next understanding or clarity or piece of information that is going to propel you in that desire that you have to create. And it's an extraordinary place to be and to live. And it's not hard to get there. It just requires that focus and attention to the detail of you, and not allowing yourself to be forced into. And it still happens for me. I still find myself getting wound up in the house, but every time I do now, I find the thought that stimulated it. And for me, what stimulates the thought is if my mind can convince me that I'm not making enough money, or that my money flow isn't right. Money seems to be a good trigger for me in varying forms. But I can find the worthiness piece in the how. And as soon as I find myself going, oh, I should do so. So-and-so said I should be doing this now. I should fix this and make this happen. And I love taking in information. I love taking in suggestions. But I always, my favorite thing is I like that. I'm going to sit with that for a little while. Yeah, let me sit with that for a little while. Because it's not mine. It's something that's coming from outside of me. I need to bring it into my field. I need to bring it into my world and sit in it. Does it align with who I am? Does it inspire anything? What does it do? Is it something that I can work with? And will it help further the inspiration, or will it push me down the avenue of thinking I have to do things in a certain way? I have to, this is how it gets done. And I don't believe anyone who says that there is, this is how you do something. That's how they did it. You know, there's a difference in understanding how people do things. It's the choices they made in evolving their own process. And that process may be close to yours, but again, like I talked about at the beginning, 7.5 unique billion worlds, all creating their own perspective. Your perspective may have absolutely no relationship to my world, and that's okay. That's the way it is. But if I try to take it, then it may stimulate in me the need to how. Well, he did that way, so how am I going to get there from here?
Right.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, what I've seen with you and this show and this path you're on is when people give me suggestions, it might be from their experience, and it's often kind of conventional wisdom. Well, when you're starting a show, here's what you do. Here's how you do the marketing and so on. It's just what, and then when it's conventional wisdom, sometimes people don't even question it. So, okay, I just got to do this. And conventional wisdom simply is a way that a lot of people have done something. Doesn't mean it's the best way. It's certainly not the only way. But you've always sat with that and sometimes bristled at it, sometimes accepted it, but always took it and, as you said, kind of match it. So the words I heard you use were about alignment and inspiration. I would add engagement, that those are three ways of saying, here's this how that's coming in. Mm-hmm. Someone saying it, or conventional wisdom is what's on the table. Is this aligned with me? Does it inspire me? And am I engaged with it? And when you get no's to any of those, you don't do it.
Yeah, that is correct.
We've had a lot of conversations. I remember on a couple of things early on where I would be pushing you, Jim, do this too. And you wouldn't do it. You just wouldn't do it. In fact, well, there's a reason.
And I don't know, you know, it's funny because those things, it is not about being resistant to ideas. It's right. About being in alignment with those ideas enough to say, is this where I can go? Because see, even if I don't do the thing, it doesn't mean I'm in a good space about it. It simply means I'm not in the space of it. So what do I mean by that? In clarity, an idea comes to me and I sit in that idea, and it may make me very uncomfortable because it's something that pushes me out of my comfort zone. So I sit in the discomfort of that, looking at why would this thing create discomfort in me? That's what I need to understand, not the thing, but the response to the thing, so that I can then say, is this just not in alignment with who I am, or is it pushing me in a way that makes me feel uncomfortable? And I need to be in that until the belief system that I have about myself changes. And that's right. Why sometimes it doesn't happen, because I may not be in the space of being able to do that yet. We were laughing about the promotional stuff earlier. Moshe and I have talked about this for years, and I have resisted and fought and hated, and I mean, you would be amazed at the levels and the depths that I've gone in conversations around Lake Murray or wherever we were wandering, Lake Miramar, trying to get to a space of comprehending or aligning with it, and just not being able to at that point. But flash forward, and now here it's like blah, 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 because I found the thing in me that was holding me back there. That was saying, no, you can't do that, or no, you're not good enough, or no, you're not enough, or people aren't going to listen. And I went, wait a second, why do I care? I want you to listen. I want you to participate. But what I'm sharing because it's coming from the love that I believe I carry in the world, and that I want to shine that light. And so sometimes you do things and say things, and the promotional piece is that I'm promoting an organic experience that I'm having. A feeling, a desire, you know, I want to promote that. And that feels really good to me. It feels natural, where before it was unnatural because it took me into the hows. Because I was not able to align to it, the only way I could get there from there was to find a how. Well, how am I going to do that? Right. How the heck am I going to make that happen? And as soon as I go there, I've already acknowledged my not enoughness. I don't think I'm adequate to this thing. How am I going to get there? How am I going to push this into my experience? And I could even use nice words about it and say, how am I going to allow this in my experience? You know, or how am I going to rest in this? But the truth of the matter is I've gone into insecurity, and I'm using the hows to help drag me out of insecurity, and it'll never happen. It'll take me further down that lane because I'm not aligned completely to the idea, and it doesn't resonate here. Does that make a full circle?
It does. It does. And it reminds me about another piece that I think is important. I do a lot of coaching, a combination of business consulting and leadership coaching with a little bit of spiritual woo-woo mixed in. And I was working recently with a client, a wonderful man. And he was reluctant to share with some of his colleagues about our work together that might be perceived as conflicting with a project. And he knew it was fear inside. And ultimately, he stepped through it and said it felt really good and was the, and mainly it was the, he knew it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. And he's very driven by what he knows and believes to be right. But he could have said, no, I'm not feeling aligned with that idea of sharing that, so I'm not going to do it. Instead, so this is the piece I want to add in. Instead, we played with it. And I said, let's role play. Let's pretend I am them. What would you say if you did share it? So we created a safe space for him to experiment. And it's a different way to tune into, is this resistance something I want to, what words am I looking for? Is this resistance telling me I should not do this thing? Mm-hmm. Or is this resistance something I need to work through in order to let go of the fears and whatever other limitations are upholding the resistance? In his case, it was working through it, and he got beyond it and said, this is the right thing to do. He could have just stopped sooner and said, no, I feel resistance. Doesn't feel aligned. So that's a tricky spot to be in.
It is.
I
want to take a quick break and come back on the other side of just a quick break to address some of that, because I think there's some important things there about the idea of energy up, energy down, and that, the like of that. So we'll be right back right after this.
Science of Transformation Method, and I can't tell you the difference that it's made in my life.
This program is all about you coming into the greatest form of you. Welcome back. Moshe, I want to take a minute because this is the time for your segment. If you'd like to spend a minute talking to the group and let them know about all the incredible things that you're doing before we carry on the conversation. Are you up for that?
Sure. Sure.
All right. I'll let you have it. Have it.
All right. I made a big shift in my career a few years ago when I realized it became really clear fundamentally business was missing love. And I had been a consultant for almost 3 decades, and I chose to write a book about it called The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love to Work. And it's all about inspiring business leaders and others to have the courage to go a different path and reject the lie that says business is war. We have to be fighting. That makes us smaller. That diminishes us. Instead, we can get bigger. And that love, again, energy that uplifts and connects, is a path to do it. So it means building a movement that I call the Amari Wave. It's growing in number and force every day. I also provide consulting, leadership coaching, and so on to support that on a level of individuals and companies. And ultimately, it all feeds into this paradigm shift that says we will put love to work.
Dang, you got that down.
that was awesome. Not a prepared script.
It wasn't. It was beautiful, though. It was beautiful. I love that. Very cool. So www.theamariwave.com, and I also put up researchworks.com, which is a consulting company. So if you're looking for some new ways to approach 2021, Moshe is your guy. Check him out. Okay. So we were at, where were we? I've lost my spot here. Oh, we were in the paradigm shift. Okay, so we were talking about that energy up, energy down thing. And I was thinking about this as I was wanting to express a little bit of how again, the ways we can see this more clearly. When you're in the, so when Moshe and I would have these conversations, we'd be walking around the lake and he would throw these bombs in my lap and I would go and twitch and do all the things that I would do about that. But the first thing I would do about it is I would feel it. And what I mean by that is that anytime someone brings something to your space, especially a concept, and you're in this communication process, when it hits you, it creates an experience in your field. It creates a reaction. And that reaction can be multifaceted, but ultimately it boils down to, in my experience, there's an energy up and energy down experience, whether it's positive or negative. And I was thinking about the gentleman you were describing and remembering my own experiences of when we would talk about promotion and marketing and things, that the part of me that was reactive would have a feeling. But the other part of me, the larger part of me that was not in reaction, was thinking, you know, he's correct. You know, there is something here that's important. And it causes the energy to go mildly upward, meaning it's lifting me a little bit. So I continue to listen because I'm recognizing I'm having a personality reaction, but I'm also having an energetic response that says, okay, let's push into this a little bit and see where I can go with it. Now, there's another one that happens that if a concept, and I've said this in response to things that have been said to me, and Moshe knows this as well, he drop a concept and I'll feel into it. And my response will be, pick different words. I'm not feeling it. It didn't hit me. It doesn't come near me. I don't get it. That's an energy down thing for me. It's there's nothing there. There's no there. So even if it's the concept that I'm not comfortable with, it doesn't create this other side experience. That's not a side experience, but this other experience of relativity to my own energy and field, if that makes sense. So that's why I say those moments to stop and say, hey, I just need a minute to process that. I need to take it in. I need to see where it lands in my energy so that I can determine if there is something I need to respond to even. And then I can respond and move into that. But it's recognizing I have resistance and I also have this feeling that there's something more. So now I know the resistance is what's in the way of getting to the something more. So now I have another process. Now I have another feeling my way through. It doesn't mean I have to go after that thing and beat it into the ground. It just means I need to understand what is this reaction that's happening that's between me and the potential of something much greater.
Beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Did that carry it through?
Yeah, it did. It did. And I remember many times in our conversations where you would say those words, where you'd ask me to say it in a different way because there was nothing. And it wasn't a rejection. It was just that there was nothing to receive.
Yes. And that's all about alignment and resonation. That's just, it's understanding when something doesn't hit you, you're not in any way, you're nowhere near it. So you don't have to go look for it. Just acknowledge that's where you are and see if you can create another opening. And in 9 times out of 10, that's what would happen in our conversations is Moshe would say, okay, he'd stop for a minute and he'd process and then he'd come back from a different perspective. And then I go, oh, or I go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because I didn't always know why it didn't connect, but.
Right. And yeah, and you don't need to know, you just know it didn't. And there's another piece that I witnessed in you that was really extraordinary that I think your listeners and viewers should know about, which is when the ultimate message is, this is not inspiring, this doesn't feel guided, I'm not going to do it. It might mean just sitting and doing nothing toward that aim, that vision. And so specifically, I witnessed you do that for many months. And in retrospect, it was kind of like not hibernating, incubating. So yes. You were incubating, even if you didn't know exactly what you were incubating. And even though there were times you were incredibly frustrated, like, what the fuck I want to be doing? I'm just not getting any yeses when I feel into, do I do this? Do I do that? And some of it was about writing a book. It was before you first drafted Fear is a Choice.
Yeah.
And you just sat for months trusting that. But what I want to point out is it can be uncomfortable and difficult. Mm-hmm. And that trust was constantly challenged. Like, how long are you willing to sit, Jim? And you sat for a long time. Now you're in this like,
And that's here what I want to address sort of as we come in our last few minutes is this idea of this paradigm shift in the hows. The change in the way that you approach life when you're not approaching it by how is radically different than what 97% of the population is doing. Or maybe I'm making that up. It's a guess, but in my experience. But again, that's a tough one because that's making an assumption of a lot of people that isn't necessarily fair because we're all navigating our own paths as powerfully as we think we can. But the paradigm shift is when you take yourself out of the how game, you're in a completely, you're in complete potential in the sense that you are opening yourself up to all possibility and not just limited possibility based on what you can see, taste, touch, hear, and feel. You are opening yourself up to all potential that exists for you and through you. And the trick is that when you stop howing it, you allow it. When you stop howing it, you allow it. What do I mean by that? You're not pushing, you're receiving. You're not fighting, you're allowing. You're saying, I know I have things to create. I know I am creating my life. I know I have this amazing energy to give to the world, to give to my life, to create what I want. And I'm going to allow that to inform everything I do. And in allowing that, it releases resistance. It also takes you into a place of total exploration in the journey. And then you really have to find your joy. You really have to find peace within you because that journey is extraordinary. I can't even begin to tell you how many times a day I encounter experiences of satisfaction that I didn't even know was possible just by mundane activities because I know that it's flowing to me. What I'm perceiving is all reflecting what's happening inside. And so as long as that's all doing what it's doing, I don't need a how. I just need to be. Because the more I be, the greater the experience is.
Beautiful.
I leave the last minute to you, my friend. How would you like us to, from the Amari Wave perspective, how would you like us to embrace this shift away from how?
To invite listeners and viewers to shift from doing to being and shift from how to trusting. What did you say? From how to allow. I love that. And so I want to present as a question to people on the show. Are you willing to allow and let go of how? Will you try it? Will you experiment with it? See what happens.
Love it. Guys, thank you all for being here. Again, www.theamariwave.com to reach out to Moshe, to get his book, to find out more about research works. And adventuresintruth.com is where you can find me. And it's time for us to call it a day. I thank you all for being here. I thank you for being a part of the show. You guys are awesome. I love all the energy you bring and all that you bring to the show that help us to produce this and engage all of you. So until next time, we will see you later. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thanks, Moshe.
Take care. Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth Livecast. Please like, subscribe, and share. If you'd like to learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, check it out at www.fearisachoicebook.com. Also check out Moments of Truth, a new offering from Adventures in Truth. If you'd like to work with Jim, check out www.thesciencetransformation.com to book a session. Tune in live every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Mountain Standard Time and every Friday, 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, or look for our new releases and podcasts every Monday. Until next time, be well, and we'll see you again on Adventures in Truth Livecast.